One verse of scripture for our text today will be the overarching theme of our morning. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, that in the King James says, pray without ceasing. The NIV says, pray continually. But before we get to that verse, I told you last week that I would address how this verse seems to conflict with Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, where Jesus says, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door. And you can't really pray continually if the only time you pray is when you're in a room with the door shut. And I mentioned that I would address that at least briefly today. There's two things that are important in the Matthew 6 verse. When Jesus says, when you pray, you got to use the context. Earlier, he had said, don't be like the religious hypocrites of the day. The religious people who had money in those days would hire people to play the trumpets. And they would go to a street corner and they would give the signal for their trumpeter to play the trumpet. And when everybody was looking at what the noise was about, then the person would begin to pray, because they were praying to be seen by people. You may have heard people pray that you thought, they're just praying to be impressive. You know, they're just praying so that people will think, wow, they know big words. And Jesus says, that's not how you're supposed to pray. You're supposed to go in your room and shut the door. So the main thing that he's teaching in that verse is, don't pray to be heard by people. Don't pray to try to impress other people with how spiritual you are. But it is also true, and when we talked about this verse, we talked about it in a little detail, that if you have a place that can be designated, this is where I pray, it will be of assistance to you. We know, if you study how to study in school more effectively, one of the things you'll be told is, have a designated spot that this is where I study. So that when you go and sit down there, your brain says, we're going to study. We're not playing video games. We're not eating. This is where we study. The same thing can be true if you have a chair in the corner somewhere, a rocking chair on the back porch, somewhere where when you go there, your spirit says, I'm here to talk to God. But it is also true that there are times in our lives when what we are praying about needs focus and attention. If you are making a decision that's going to impact your family's future, you don't need to be praying about that when you go down Washington Road. Well, you should pray about that while you're going down Washington Road, but you also need to be praying about that somewhere private, somewhere without distractions, so that you can focus on what God may be telling you. As you read the scripture, you're more paying attention to that. You know, if you and your family have to have an important family meeting, you don't go out to eat at Cracker Barrel to have it. Because Cracker Barrel's policy is, let's get as many people as close together as possible at the same time. You know, and you've got somebody that if you stretched out your elbow, you're hitting them on that side, and you're hitting them on that side. That's not the environment to have a serious conversation. Same thing with prayer. If you're praying and you're trying to find God's will about a major decision, you're praying about a burden you're carrying, a crisis you're in, you need a place free from distractions where you can just say, God, I need some time, just you and me. Please let me listen to what you have to say. Please help me with this. So that's what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 6, which is different than what Paul's talking about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, pray continually. I spent a little bit of time, not much, because I realized it was fruitless, but I spent a little bit of time trying to think, I wonder which comes first, praying in your room or praying continually. And I've decided that it's just circular, that as you pray in that focused, uninterrupted place, that will motivate you to continue that praying through the day. And as you pray through the day, that will help you get to that place where you say, okay, God, we've been talking all day long. Now I need to sit here for a little bit, undistracted, and listen to you. But praying without ceasing seems to be like an impossible command. Why in the world would God tell us to do something we can't do? And so I did some study on the word that is translated either without ceasing or continually. And this word I found was used in the healthcare field to describe a medical condition that keeps coming back. Something like a persistent cough. Oh, I understand that. Everybody who's been alive the last 3 years understands that, because probably most of us have had a period of time in the last 3 years, and it seems to be back right now, where we get a hold of a cough, and it's not necessarily related to allergies, although some of that's coming around now. Welcome to the Garden City. But it's that cough that you can't seem to get rid of. You're not coughing 60 seconds every minute. You're not coughing 60 minutes every hour. But you're not going very long before all of a sudden you're coughing again. That's the word here for how we're supposed to pray, which is why I entitled the lesson, Persistent Cough, Praying. That is to say that as we go through our day, we are to stay in touch with God. Last week we talked about prayer being getting on God's frequency. Today we're going to talk about how to stay on God's frequency, how you stay tuned in to God, and you do it by praying without ceasing. You do it by maintaining that connection with God through the day. So I want to try, with God's help, to give us some practical help on how we can do this. How do you maintain a connection with God through your day? Psalm chapter 5, verse 3 says, "In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation." So the first thing is, as you're going to pray through the day, start in the morning. Start your day with prayer. As you're waking up, begin to pray through your day, beginning in the morning. As you're getting ready, whatever you do as you're getting ready, brushing your teeth, doing your hair and your makeup, shaving, taking a shower, just as you're getting ready for your day, in the morning, David said, "I will lay my requests before you." We've talked about this, that, you know, pray through the Lord's Prayer. We just spent several weeks talking about how to do that. Praying through your day, we've talked about that. Praying through, if you have meetings, if you have appointments, if you have some things that you know that are facing you that aren't going to be real comfortable to deal with, God, I need your help with that. I need some confidence. I need your strength. As you know what your kids' schedules are for the day, if they've got a test coming up, Lord, help them to study right and help them to remember what they studied. If you've got, you know, a job interview, just as you think through your day, I like that. Lord, in the morning, I lay my requests before you. I'm starting my day saying, God, these are the things that I'm aware of that is going to happen today. I need you to be with me. And Lord, in all those unexpected things that show up, I'm going to need you to be with me. Now, I don't know about you, but I still do it because it's a habit that was ingrained from years of having old cars. Every time, especially on a cold morning, I turn my car and it turns on. It's like, thank you, Lord. Because some of us remember what it's like to not know for sure if the car is going to start if it gets too cold. And to just be grateful. I'm talking about maintaining your connection to God through your day. You know, as you drive into work, or as you walk across the room to your home office now, if you've got a virtual job, pray, God, may your light shine through me today. May I be a beacon of positivity and encouragement. May your love show through me. You know, whether I'm on a Teams meeting or whether I'm face-to-face at work or wherever I may be, help me to radiate Jesus. Help me in the tone of my voice, in how I approach things, and how I deal with people. And that's harder to do virtually than it is, you know, face to face. But Lord, help me through this day to let you shine through me. If you know a coworker's having a hard time, you know, or if you're back in the office and you can tell they're having a hard time, Lord, be with them. Whatever's going on, I don't need to know, Lord. You know, encourage them, strengthen them. At the end of the day, thank you, God, I made it through another day. As you drive up to your house, thank you, Lord, for a good, safe place to live and a roof over my head. And, you know, when it's 110 degrees outside, it's always grateful when you walk, oh, Lord, thank you, the air worked. You know, it's just, you say, oh, that's silly. No, it's not silly. It's being aware of the blessings of God that a lot of people don't have. And we're talking about maintaining that connection with God, praying continually. In other words, saturate your day with prayer. Just like that persistent cough, just saturate your day with prayer. I'm going to give you a couple of reasons why. Have you ever heard of priming the pump? Now, priming the pump actually predates the AM radio we talked about last week, but priming the pump. By the time my sisters and I came along, my dad's parents had moved out of the holler that he grew up in and were actually out on a highway in a house, and they had city water and sewer and everything, but they still had the pump on the back porch that was at to the well. And if you've ever had well water out of a pump, you know that is the coldest, freshest, best tasting water you could ever get. But you had to do that hand. I should have put a picture of it because some of you are saying, oh, what is he talking about? Thank God for the Google machine. You can go search for it. But you had to pump that handle. And when I did it the first few times, I pump and pump and pump. Nothing happens. And then they said, Ken, you have to prime the pump. I don't know what that means. See that container there by the well that has, by the pump that has water in it? You have to pour that water down in the pump. That primes the pump. And then when you pump it, water comes out. And it worked. I still don't understand the physics of it, but it worked. Priming the pump. You're getting it ready to do what it's supposed to do. Now, let's talk about that as it relates to your day. Have you ever gotten up on the wrong side of the bed and just decided, you know, if I'd have been smart, I'd have just stayed in the bed, you know, because you primed the pump, you know, with the wrong stuff? I want to give you a study that was done by John Barg. He put together a group of New York University students, and he divided them into groups. He gave each group 35 word sentences where the words were scrambled, and they were to make sentences out of those 30 groups of words. One of the groups was terms with aggression and rudeness. The words were like brazen and disturb and bluntly and bother and intrude. And they were working with those words to make sentences. The other group had words like courteous and respect and yield and behave. And the experimenter said, I'm studying how you put language together. He wasn't. He was studying priming the pump. But he said, I'm going to study how you put these words together. I'm going to go in the next room while y'all work on this. And whenever you're done, just come to me and I'll give you the next step in this assignment. What they did not know was when they came to him, that was the next step in the assignment. Because when they came to him, he was busy with somebody else. An actor who was pretending that they did not understand the assignment. And the researcher just ignored each of the students as they came into the room to ask him what they were supposed to do next. He had determined he was going to ignore every single one of them, either until 10 minutes were up or until they interrupted him. You want to guess what happened? The students that had been working with the rude words interrupted at about 5.5 minutes. The students who were given the polite words waited on average over 9 minutes before they interrupted. And beyond that, more than 80% of the students who had been given the polite words waited the entire 10 minutes, and only 35% of the rude words chose not to interrupt. So they asked the students, "Why did you interrupt? Why did you not interrupt?" They didn't have a clue. And the researcher said, "You think maybe it was the words you were working with?" "No, that didn't have anything to do with it." "Yeah, it does." Their pumps were primed either to be rude and intrude or to be patient and kind, depending on the words they were working with. How you start your day primes your day. Now, I realize, I'm just going to go ahead and say this, I realize that it doesn't matter how positive you are when you're getting ready. It doesn't matter how much praise music you've got on and how many scriptures you're quoting and how close you are to the Lord. When you go down the steps and you trip and you sprain your ankle and you hobble over to the refrigerator to get the milk out to put the milk in your cereal and you take a big old spoonful of cereal and realize that the milk was a week old and you were supposed to get fresh and it was spoiled and you spew it out all over the floor and you go to the sink to try to, you know, throw the cereal away and you trip again and there's milk all over the floor. I realize it's going to be hard to stay positive when all that goes on, right? I recognize that. But I recognize also that on a typical day, how you start your day impacts how your day goes. When I was chaplain at long-term care facilities, I could see it happen with my own eyes. I could see people that were having a rough day. And they, you know, they've got their walker or whatever, and they're coming out of their room, and you can tell they're not feeling well. And one of the staff members says, "Oh, Miss So-and-so, you look so good today." And she starts to brighten up, and the next staff member says, "Oh, you look like you're having such a good day." And this lady hears 3 or 4 positive comments, and by the time she's down the hall, she's standing upright, she's got a smile on her face, she's having a better day. I've also seen people who thought they were having a good day. And the first person that saw them said, "Oh, you look like you're not feeling very good today." And the next person said, "Oh, you look like you're really hurting today." And before long, their affect changed because their pumps were being primed. It's so important to start your day connecting to God. That primes your pump. Prayer is priming the pump. It prepares you for what God wants you to do, and it makes you more aware of what God is doing through your day. And if you listen to music, you know, as you're getting ready, and man, as I was preaching this in my mind, I thought, come on, dude, you know, I remember what it's like to have 3 kids and 2 adults getting ready for school and work in the morning. That's chaos. That's confusion. It's hard to, you know, to say, "Oh, praise God from whom all bless." You know, you're not feeling that when all that's going on. But you probably have a little bit of private time where you're, you know, you're doing your hair and your makeup and you're shaving or you're getting your shower and stuff. If you've got music on, make it uplifting music. Maybe some prayer. "God, I don't know what's going on today, but I pray for your help. Be with us. Give us your peace today." Maybe a verse or 2 of scripture that meaningful to you. Priming your pump. Colossians chapter 4 gives us a fascinating insight into this. He says in verse 2, "Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful." As you start your day in prayer, you will be more alert to what's going on in your day. And then he says, "Pray for me." And then in verse 5, he says, "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity." There is a direct connection between your praying and in being wise in how you act through your day, and the ability to make the most of the opportunities. There is a direct correlation to prayer and how your day goes. You will be more alert to the things of God. You'll be more aware of how He's answering your prayers. You know, you'll have, oh man, God, I was praying about that this morning. This is so cool how you worked in this right now. It makes you more alert. It makes you more watchful as you pray. Then you begin to see, how's God going to answer my prayers today? Which leads me to talk to you about the reticular activating system. And yes, there will be a test at the end of the service day. The reticular activating system, or RAS, is a cluster of nerve cells in the brain stem that regulate alertness and attention. We do not know how many hundreds or thousands of stimuli are bombarding us every moment of the day. Sights and sounds and sensations. I've talked to people who, when they first get a hearing aid, hate it because, and I don't know this from experience, I just know this from talking to my dad and others, that apparently when you get a hearing aid, it kind of overrides the reticular activating system and you hear everything. You hear every little scratch, every little noise, every little thing that goes on, and they have to get that thing tuned or they lose their mind. The reticular activating system filters out the stimuli that are not important to us. It determines what you notice and what you don't notice. Some of you may remember when I drove that red Neon. Thank God for that red Neon, man. I drove it literally till it died. Loved that little car. Didn't know anything about Neons when I bought it. It had just been sitting on the lot for a while. It was a 4-speed, and most people want automatics. And, you know, they were kind of bottom-of-the-line, entry-level cars. And they wanted to move it, they said. And I got a good deal on it. And I loved that little red Neon. Made by Plymouth. And I don't even think Plymouth is even in existence anymore. But before I bought that red Neon, I had never seen a red Neon. I had never seen a Neon. I drove off the lot in that red Neon. Do you have any idea how many red Neons there are in the CSRA? Oh, there's one over there in the parking lot. Oh, there's one at the gas station. There's one just ahead of me. Here's one coming at me. There were so many red Neons. They had always been there. But they weren't important to me, and so my reticular activating system filtered them out. But when I got one, it's like I could see them everywhere. It's like if you have a unique ringtone, and you're at a restaurant, or you're in a grocery store or somewhere, and somebody else has that ringtone, oh, you reach for your phone. Some other ringtone you don't pay any attention to. That's the reticular activating system doing its job, filtering out what's important to you and what's not. If your kids are out in the street riding their bikes and all of a sudden you hear a blare of a horn and a screech of brakes, you're running out the door to make sure they're okay. If your kids are in the room with you, and you're playing games or you're having a discussion or you're watching a movie, you probably didn't even hear the horn and the brakes because they weren't important to you. I can see some of you say, I'm going to start paying attention to this. But that's the reticular activating system. Prayer prepares your spiritual reticular activating system to be aware of what God is doing through your day. As you start your day connected to God, and again, I'm not talking about, if you've got time to do it, good for you, but a lot of us don't have the time first thing in the morning to, go to a quiet room somewhere and kneel down and spend 30 minutes because we got to get out the door to get kids to school and get to work and all that. But if you can start your day just let your mind focus on some promises from God. Maybe have some praise music playing. maybe do pray the Lord's Prayer, even if it's just praying the words of the Lord's Prayer. If you've been with us through the study, it will be more meaningful to you. What you're doing is activating your spiritual reticular activating system to be aware of what God is doing through the day. And you'll find yourself filled with all kinds of God moments. As you, oh, that's God did that. Oh, that was God. I saw a post one time, somebody said, sometimes I just have to look up and say, God, I know that was you. Yeah, that's your spiritual reticular activating system. That's why David says, Lord, in the morning I lay my requests to you. Another practical way to pray continually comes from the life of Jesus in Matthew chapter 9. It says, he went through the towns and the villages, and as he went, he saw the multitudes, he saw the crowd, and he had compassion on them. Pray about the things you see on the way. In other words, as you go through your day, find cues to help you pray. If you have to pull over because an ambulance is passing you with lights and sirens, do you just breathe a prayer? Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I pray for whoever's involved in that situation. Now, I prayed when I was on call nights and weekends, and I had the pager, and I was on call, and it was my shift, and I heard an ambulance. I prayed, dear God, please don't let them be going to my hospital. I don't feel like dealing with anything tonight, you know. But when you see somebody stranded alongside the road, I can't stop and help them. I can't even get their hood open, let alone try to help them with anything. But you can pray. As you're out and you see, you know, a young parent struggling with an armful of children, and they're fussing and just God, give them peace. You know, as you see somebody that just looks particularly troubled, God, be with them. Give them some encouragement. Just, I'm talking about as you go. Pay attention to what you see as you go. And use those as opportunities. I call them arrow prayers. That, you know, you're just shooting up an arrow real quick. Lord, be in that situation. Help that person. Be with them. Last week, we talked about Peter in Acts chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that while lunch was being prepared, he was praying. And I said then, pray in the gaps. Pray in the down time. We all have those down times. We all have gaps in our day. I talked last week about being stuck, you know, at a railroad crossing in downtown Augusta. You're going to be there a while. There's cars all around you. You can't make a U-turn. You're stuck. What you going to do for those 5 or 10 or 20 minutes? And then don't you just love it? Doesn't it make you really spiritual when you can see the end of the train, but it's not cleared the road yet? And then it stops. Oh, I just pray. Dear God, I'm going to break something if that doesn't move, you know. But pray in the down times. You know, you're at a doctor's appointment. You go to this doctor regularly. You've read all the magazines in their waiting room 3 years ago. You read them all. And there's no new ones. What are you going to do? Oh, if you've got your device with you and you got your, you know, earphones, you could listen to some praise music, or you could just close your eyes and lean back and spend some time praying and quoting scripture. You know, a side effect of that, your blood pressure will be lower when they take your blood pressure. But in the gaps, in the down times, those times that you're waiting, use them as an opportunity to connect with God. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the spirit. In other words, one of the ways to maintain connection to God is to follow the promptings of the Lord. You've probably experienced this. You may not have known what to call it, but when you're going through your day and all of a sudden somebody's name comes to mind, or somebody's face comes to your mind, you hadn't thought about them in months or maybe years, but all of a sudden that's all you can think about? Use that as an opportunity to pray for them. Now, one of two things, or maybe more, but at least one of two things will happen. We had a friend who was going through her day, and all of a sudden, a missionary friend of hers, several time zones away, came to her mind, heavy on her mind. And she said, it was so heavy on my mind, and she was able to do this. She said, I actually stopped what I was doing and just went and spent some time praying for my friend because I couldn't get her out of my mind. Well, in those days, missionaries would send out letters every month to their supporters, kind of bringing them up to date on what was going on. And when she got her friend's letter, her friend referenced a particular time and date when they had been facing some serious danger. And she said, all of a sudden, it just felt like God and his angels were there, and they protected us and delivered us from that situation. So my friend got out her calendar and figured out the time, the time zone difference, and you know, because you know how God works, at the very time that her friend was in danger, our friend was getting a prompt from God to pray for her. When you get those, use them as prompts to pray. Or what you may have happened, Donna said a couple of weeks ago, one of her friends and her, you know, her classmates that they've been all getting together recently came to her mind pretty heavy. She said, I actually dreamed about her. And then I couldn't get her off my mind when I woke up. And she said, I sent her a text. You're on my mind. Is everything okay? I'm praying for you. And she said, she got a text back, said, we're good. Okay, good. So sometimes you'll get that. But I don't know about you. If I'm on your mind and you pray for me and you text me and I say I'm good, I'm also going to say thank you for praying because I always need those. So it may be that, well, let's be honest, because remember our Father in the heavenlies, it may well be that Donna's friend who thought she was okay almost wasn't, but people were praying and she was okay. Well, we don't know. But when people come to mind, when situations come to your mind, just lift up a prayer to it. You don't have to pull over to the side of the road and kneel down in your car. But just say, God, I don't know what's going on, but you've brought them to my mind, and so I pray for them. Whatever they're facing, whatever's going on, whatever they need, Lord, just show yourself strong in their lives right now. Be close to them. May they feel your presence. It does two things. It helps them in ways they don't know, and it helps you maintain that connection to God. Pray continually. And then, you know, we talk about the media. You know, pray through the news. Again, you know, we talk about don't spend a whole lot of time on it because it's not really news. It's just people's opinions anymore. But you know, how many times have you had a situation where you heard about an accident or a death and it really didn't register until you got to work and found out that that accident or that death was a family member of one of your colleagues? All of a sudden, it's more important. And so just as you pray through the day, when things come to your mind, when you read about, you know, an accident, when you read about a death, there's nothing wrong. I don't even know those people. No, but God does. And it's not going to hurt just to lift up a prayer for them. I hope you're praying about our election. I hope you're praying for our community, for our leaders. Just through the day as you go, and then pray the scriptures. The Bible talks a lot about meditation, and praying the scriptures is very similar to meditation. Isaiah said, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are fixed on you. One of the ways you keep your mind fixed on God is praying the scriptures. What I mean by that is, as you read a passage of scripture, you know, pray without ceasing. Make that a prayer. God, I need to do better at this. I need to not take so long between my praying. Help me to learn how to build this into my life. O, you read, thou wilt keep in perfect peace those whose minds are fixed on thee. Lord, I get so easily distracted. I get my focus on so many other things. Please help me to keep my mind on you. Please help me to keep fixed on you. When you're angry, don't sin. Lord, I'm frustrated right now. Help me to handle it the right way. Just use the scriptures as guides for your praying. I've heard about, I know you've got watches now and devices that you can set to send out an alarm every hour or something like that, or every 10 minutes or whatever. Mine always says, it's time to stand up. And I just say, I don't want to stand up. You know, but you know, you can set your devices to just do it. I've heard of people that do that, and they set their alarm for every hour, and when it goes off, they just take a couple minutes and just breathe some prayers. I've seen people that have a sign, you know, the ASAP, that, you know, usually says as soon as possible. They've used it to mean always say a prayer. And they'll put ASAP on their dashboard or on their bathroom mirror or something to just remind them, stay in connection with God. It's not difficult. Well, I mean, it's challenging. It's not complicated. But it's challenging because we have so many other things bombarding us. But I just encourage you to build this into your praying. I think it'll revolutionize what you think about prayer. Is if you think about prayer as more than just kneel down on a hard floor and your knees creak. And by the way, the older we get, the harder it is to get down on your knees and to get back up. You know, but you know, that's just traditionally how people were supposed to pray. God doesn't care. There's all kinds of bodily postures for praying in the Bible. Just be careful if you're lying down and you pray. You know, be careful that you don't end up sleeping. but you know, just make it a pattern through your day to just use the things that happen in your life to motivate you to pray. Prime the pump first thing in the morning. Prime your reticular activating system first thing in the morning. God, help me see you at work today. And then just be amazed at what God does through your day, because you're paying attention to it. He's been doing it all along, but now you're tuned into it, and your spiritual reticular activating system is saying, look at that, you prayed about that this morning. Look at that, you prayed about that last week. And you'll be aware of God. And you know what that'll do? That'll just motivate you to pray more. And through your day, as you go, that persistent cough, just regularly, keep in touch with God. It'll change your life. Lord, it's easier to talk about that than it is to do it, because there are so many things that clamor for our attention. But I pray, Lord, that you would help us, that as we go through the busyness of our lives, as we go through sometimes the chaos of our lives and feeling like we've got to be three places at the same time and juggling responsibilities as a spouse and a parent and a business person and all those things going on, may we realize that you are right here with us. And we can just breathe out a prayer. We can just think a prayer. And you hear it. So help us first to get on your frequency. And then help us to stay there, to stay connected with you, continually, persistently breathing out prayers to you as we go through our day. And may we see lives changed. May we see our prayer life revitalized as we put this discipline into practice. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine on you and give you his peace now and evermore. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being here today. You're dismissed.